This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the child chauffeuring dilemma. As parents look to outsource their job of chauffeur, the biggest companies, Uber and Lyft, actually forbid drivers from picking up minors under 18. As any parent with children will tell you, that is not the case in terms of practice. Getting down to the stickiness of it all after these tech headlines. Lyft reported quarterly earnings Tuesday afternoon, the first financial report since the company went public in March. It, of course, beat Uber to the public markets. However, the initial excitement wore off pretty quickly. As for today's excitement, here's the damage. The Journal says Lyft posted strong growth in its first quarterly report, nearly doubling from the year before, even as losses continued to mount. Revenue comes in at $776 million in the first 3 months of the year. That's up 95% from a year earlier. This was accompanied by a surge in spending in sales and marketing, which includes rider discounts that Lyft showered on users for much of the first quarter, spending $275 million. That's up 63%. Lyft expects revenue growth to slow in the second quarter and the rest of 2019. It projects revenue of at least $800 million in the second quarter and as much as $3.3 billion for the year. In its latest report, a team of Cowen analysts predicted that the true 5G services won't actually materialize in 2022, and that's the earliest. And as 5G service will be available in a handful of U.S. cities this year, it's also noted that most people will only get incremental upgrades to the speeds that they get with today's 4G LTE services. The Journal also notes that while Apple isn't expected to compete in 5G this year, its settlement with Qualcomm makes a 5G iPhone in late 2020 much more likely because Qualcomm is far ahead of the other chip-making peers in the technology. You can read up on all things 5G at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And a data and privacy update. Health insurers are collecting much more than just medical data about their members. Providers are rewarded for keeping patients healthy. As such, by integrating medical data with personal information and applying analytics to it, insurers and health providers seek to identify patients at high risk for an illness with the goal of intervening and preventing it. But the use of personal data to make health predictions also causes a new wave of privacy concerns, like whether a patient's privacy could be violated if the data is misused or used to draw unfair or inaccurate insights. WSJ Pro's Brian Gormley has the story at WSJ.com. Coming up, a check-in with the state of parenting today as it pertains to ride-hailing rules, as overbooked children and overworked parents scramble to get places. Busy parents who turn to ride-hailing apps to solve their child chauffeuring dilemmas may be defying company age restrictions. Quite possibly news to the droves of parents who have their children chauffeured around by such apps like Uber and Lyft. The Wall Street Journal's Julie Jargon has more of this story. She joins us via Skype from Los Angeles. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. So for folks who aren't parents, it's interesting to see how prevalent ride-hailing is among teens. And you look at the changing times. I guess if my generation had this tech, I'm sure I would have hailed an Uber and not scrambled for a ride all the time. But am I wrong in presuming that this is the main way kids get around these days? How prevalent is it?
You know, it's hard to measure, and I'm not sure it's the main way. I mean, a lot of kids are probably still ferried about by parents and carpools and
sure.
other modes of transportation, but it's clear that this is becoming an increasing option for a lot of teenagers, especially in big sprawling metro areas, but even in some suburban areas where, you know, kids have, you know, school choice programs and they have to go to school outside of their neighborhood way across town. And, you know, mom and dad are working and everybody's kind of all over the place. And so with the advent of these services, people have been turning to them more and more. And a lot of parents that I've talked to who didn't want to talk for the column did say that they use Uber or Lyft quite a bit for their teenage kids in defiance of the rules that unaccompanied riders have to be at least 18.
Yeah, so that's sort of what I was getting at, because even for someone like myself, far removed from chauffeuring kids around, I see that it's done all the time. So I was surprised to learn that it's actually not allowed. But it's one of those things, I guess, like jaywalking, it's just kind of done anyway.
Yeah, you know, because the teenagers can use their parents' account. And so when Uber or Lyft get a request for a ride, they, you know, they think it's coming from that adult who has that account, and they come and pick up someone who is not an adult. But, you know, a lot of teenagers look older and probably hard to tell if someone's 16 or 18.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes I have heard cases where Uber drivers have questioned the rider and have decided not to pick up that person. But in a lot of cases, they don't ask the question. It goes on a lot.
What are the ramifications? Account holders who allow their children to access their accounts, do they risk losing their accounts, or how serious do things get here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how widely it's actually enforced, but the companies do have a policy that state that account holders who are allowing their children to access their accounts could risk losing access. And maybe they get a warning. It's probably not that severe that it's automatically withdrawn. But, you know, there are potential risks.
Right. So now that we're caught up on the rules, are there such ride apps that address this issue, ones that have the parental child rules of transport in order here? What's out there that parents are utilizing?
Yeah, a lot of startups have come about in recent years to address the demand for getting kids to places when parents can't. So there are a number of services like Hop, Skip, Drive, Bubble and Zoom that are specifically created to take children to where they need to go. And they have very kind of rigorous standards for who can drive for them. The services all require the drivers to have previous childcare experience anywhere from 3 years to 5 years. And as a result of all of the background checks and the, you know, liability insurance and those kind of things, those services do cost quite a bit. Especially as compared to Uber and Lyft.
So with ride hailing in general, there are all kinds of safety concerns. I imagine even more so when children are involved. So what's the state of affairs in terms of safety, and how are companies like Uber and Lyft keeping tabs on this?
Well, Uber and Lyft, because they don't allow younger children to take rides, it may be that they decide to do so at some point. I mean, Uber did have a pilot in a few markets in 2017 where they were testing ride sharing for under 18. But the newer services that have come up to specifically address children, you know, they do have these background checks for their drivers. They make them have fingerprints that run through the FBI, and they do, you know, really rigorous kind of background checks and vetting of the drivers. And that's, you know, a pretty tough business model. I'm sure it's difficult to find enough people who are qualified to drive for them. And some of these startups have gone out of business already. So it's, you know, it's hard to say whether they'll be able to stick around and be profitable. But, you know, parents do have concerns whether they're sending their child in one of these services for children or in Uber, because, you know, you have to verify that the driver who's picking you up is, in fact, the right person. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was recently that, you know, that horrible case in South Carolina where a young woman allegedly got into a car that she thought was her Uber, and it was not an Uber, mm-hmm. and she was murdered. And so, you know, those kind of things, when they come up in the news, do, I think, give parents pause about, is it safe for anyone, you know, in most circumstances, sure, to ride in cars with strangers, and is it safe for their children?
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's changing times, and it's changing very quickly. So thank you for the latest as it pertains to ride hailing, Julie.
You bet.
That ends this edition of the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.